Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Moves up and takes the lead, but Mr. Brightside's challenging. Mr. Brightside up to Alligator Blood. Cascadian late. Mr. Brightside in front. And Mr. Brightside has won the mile from Cascadian. The Inevitable has a really good buffer. 200 to go. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserves at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the night. Zaki joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaki. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Oh, she's too good. They can't beat her. In time I so untold, I'm just another soul for sale. Oh, well.
The beach is out of press. We are not permanent. G'day, listeners, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast, where we are coming off a very, very good week. Firstly, congratulations, Wilbot Alford. Everyone, round of applause. It came off the big plunge, Medea. Obviously, the price, the really good price, was gone by the time we did the podcast, but there was still $3.20 available when we did hit record. You declared it. Well done. And you've paid off your trip. How do you feel?
Don't say that. Mum listens. No, that's all right. She's not stupid. No, it was a good result and it's good to get them off sometimes. Beautiful. Sometimes they go your way.
Every man and their dog was on.
Yeah.
Not just
Bot.
It was $4.20.
I reckon Bot started it and then the others chimed in and it got into a shade of odds on.
Yeah, because I had a whack crazy on Thursday and then I went again at the jump.
You had a whack on Thursday.
Just kept going. Yeah, it didn't
unbelievable
stop.
Stuff.
Nico, but you've been an absolute liability tonight. We should have hit record about 45 minutes ago.
As per usual.
Talk us through your night, and it's just gone past 10 p.m., Bot and I just like almost had enough, and you've finally
sitting
decided
here with
to show
my dick in my hand for the last hour.
Having a whack like last week.
Yeah, well, that's nothing new for Bot. I'm not the most tech savvy guy in the world, and I've had problem after problem after problem tonight. So yeah, anyway, we got here in the end.
Yeah, eventually.
Late
anyway.
Nico is better than no Nico. The ratings would have been down last week, I'm sure, even though Stu Bell was good.
I don't know. Stu actually recorded it. He did the visual record as well. So it wasn't just audio. He actually uploaded it onto YouTube. I didn't share it on our socials because Will probably would have hung me.
There's a reason we don't do video.
Well, video you're not podcasts. A big fan of having your face on the screen.
I don't give a shit.
No.
Maybe I should
it was just
share
that it
there.
Took – I don't mind. It's just that takes forever to upload. Like last week it took ages
yeah.
to –
Yeah, so we won't be doing that every week. There's not much to see here anyway, punters.
No, honestly, it's just fucking backgrounds.
There's not much to
everyone
see.
Everyone knows our voice is Ben. Bot's just a little squeaky panel member.
Nico, you've got no right to talk right now.
Yeah, well,
absolutely.
Shut the fuck up,
I'm going to give you
are
a winner.
Are you still talking? Are you still talking? On to the races.
Four bets, four winners.
All right. Well, I've got three really, really good bets as well this weekend. We'll get to those very shortly, but
We are, of course, previewing the Doomben 10,000 up there in the Sunshine State. Very wet conditions. We've got the Andrew Ramsden at Flemington. It's a win and you're in. We also see a very, very progressive horse drop back to 1,200 metres in the straight six. I'm not sure if we're betting in any other states, but I've also got one internationally tomorrow night. So make sure you stay tuned for that. All right. Flemington is where we start. It's where we always start. It's Vic Metro punting on a Saturday. How good. You can't beat it. The rail's out 4 metres. 2 to 10 millimetres of rain on race day. So that is going to be very interesting. Yeah, if it comes during the races and you get that upper end, then you might be wanting to find horses who at least get through a soft track. But we start in race one. It's 11.55 a.m. and it's 1,100 meter three-year-old open handicap. One hard lady, $4.20 from Run Like Encryption. You can hazard a guess that she is a daughter of Encryption. $4.80. Harry Jotz, $5.50. Madame Maserati, $7.50. And Skipjack, $8. Nick McGualter and Will Alford go head-to-head in the first. Nick, state your case.
Well, there's a clear-cut, fantastic bet in this race. Number six, One Hard Lady. Donna Scott doesn't bring them down here for a haircut. Her winning strike rate is fantastic. This horse didn't do much on the clock last start, but it was never going to when it was under triple wraps and the others were in reverse. Barrier six is good. Blake's slight knock, but he can just have to sit on it and not fall off, pretty much. I think she's a cracking bet. Barrier six, perfect. Really smart filly, this one. I'm really keen. I thought $4 or $4 plus was a fantastic bet. And Bot should know better to take me on.
And what's your little statistic, do you remember, from Donna Scott?
Four winners from 14 starters at Flemington, winning strike rate of 28%.
Beautiful. There you go.
I'm looking at in Victoria, she's 2 from 32.
At Flemington only.
Okay. That's career. Career statistics at Flemington.
Don't worry about anywhere else. HQ only.
Fair enough. No, I want to be on Run Like an Encryption, who ran really nice time at, was it Wangaratta last time? Yes, Wangaratta. Last 200 metres was really good. I think it'll improve up to 1,100, and I think it'll put itself in the race. One Hard Lady looks like a nice horse, but and it won on the bridle last time, but just bolted in. But
on the bridle? It was doing cartwheels.
Yeah, it was. Nice horse, but I think Run Like an Encryption probably should be favourite.
Two-horse race, are you saying?
No. But I'd
come on.
Wanna Well it's like it's an open, right, well, it's like $4 a field, mate.
let's have a side wager.
What, you showing up to the podcast on time or do I get that?
I never lose these side wagers, so let's have one.
Right. Okay.
You only won a small island last week. What are we gonna have on it?
I don't know.
Well, the three of us need to catch up for dinner, so the loser pays for. This is a great bet for Ben. So he just gets a free dinner.
Is Ben involved here? Ben's just sitting there.
Bloody oath, I get a free dinner.
It's a meeting. So loser pays for dinner.
All right, sounds good. Let's move on to race two. It's a 1,400 meter 2 year old.
Let's specify: is it head to head? Who beats who home?
Yes, who beats who home?
All right, well, pay me now.
Well, I reckon it should be just void if neither of us win.
Oh. No.
You guys are making this so much more difficult than it needs to be.
All right, whatever. Just head to head.
I'm the judge. Right. Whoever beats home, who?
Just book Nova in now.
All right, race two, 1,400 meter, two-year-old event. High Vol was a good winner on debut. That was in the Anzac Stakes, I want to say. $2.70 favorite from The Opportunist. Talk about big wins. This was a huge win at the Bull, $5.50. Dancing on My Own, $6. Maldini, named after the great soccer player. I want to say $7.50. Warrior Smile, $8. Usually they're named after footy players, but
I was going to say they're all named after footy players.
This one named after a soccer player. Will, what do you like?
I've backed Booklish. I don't know, the Paddy Payne thing ridden by Billy Egan. Hopefully he's got his sleeves up a little bit because it goes 1,000 meters to 1,400 meters. But the last 200 there was exceptional, and that form line looks okay with the Busted and Horse beating Rosangela by that race went well last week, and you know, it ran nice splits over 1,000 meters. It's a spec bet. I took like 34s, 31s and that sort of stuff. So that's what I've backed. I like, you know, I'm not expecting it to win, but it's just something I've backed. I don't know. Look, this is a tricky card, and it's not a card I want to be betting too many things early. It's a race that I just want to see and watch what the market does, and then potentially have a couple bets late. There's no Medeas this week anyway. We're not going to back any horses that are going to.
Don't tell listeners that. We need them to keep listening for the ratings.
Yeah. Well. Okay.
Speak for yourselves. Ben and I have got one later on.
Yeah, we've got a few very confident bets, so make sure hopefully you listen to the whole podcast.
Hopefully High Vol softens a bit and you get like 350 and I can back it.
All right, no worries. Will Bott, he's become a sectional merchant. Used to be just backing horses up on speed, but now he's backing backmarkers from well back in the field who are running good splits late.
I've always been a sectional merchant, mate.
Yeah, you always have been.
My whole go.
But I reckon you're backing a few more backmarkers these days, and this horse is going to be well back in the field.
Yeah, it's like 30, so it doesn't matter. If it loses, I cop it.
Anyway, I'm giving it to him, but I've had something on as well, just following him in. Race 4 is a 1,400-meter. We skip race 3. You've got a race 4, 1,400-meter, three-year-old race. Calcalo at $3.80 from Daggers, $5.50, no strings attached, $7.50. Ruta Royale, $9.50, and Just for Show, $10. I'm keen on Calcalo here. I thought he was really good winning last start. He's got a really consistent ratings profile that he's just gradually gotten better and better with each run. And I can just poke holes in so many of the chances here. Daggers, I don't really know how well he's going. And if he really wants 1,400 meters, No Strings Attached got very keen last start and you could forgive it. But this camp, very deep in the prep, I think he's close to the end of it than the start of it. Ruta Royale, he'll run well. He always runs well. He always finds one better. And Just for Show is drawn out in 15. So Calcalo, ever since the blinkers went on, it's been really, really good its last two. It maps beautifully from barrier 4 here. And if you listen to Ethan Brown's post-race interview after it won last start, he said he didn't think it was stretching out as well on that really rock-hard track and thought with a bit of give in the ground, it could elevate to another level. So that's what we're going to get on Saturday. We think the rain's going to arrive at some point in time. And I think around the $4 mark is a good bet.
It's a good point you bring up, Ben, with Bussard and Young being deep into the prep, because the last 3 years, you're losing a lot of money if you back them, sixth up and further into the preparation. They don't do very well.
I'm shocked No Strings Attached here.
Apparently they want soft ground. That was the excuse for last start. But there's no way you could back him after that.
Yeah, I don't think he's. I think maybe next prep they send him away and he can probably improve. But the horse I want to back. I'm not going to back it until race day. But Just for Show, did something that I liked at first up at Flemington, at Caulfield. Sorry, and I like the way he resumed, and I probably want to back him. $10 is fair enough. Nothing super, super confident. And I just think he's a nice horse and is the improving one. If he had drawn sort of barrier 8, I'd be really, really, really keen. But yeah, I'm a little bit iffy on gate 15 and what they do, especially second up. But I just want to have something small on. And Calcalo, I agree, Ben. Nice horse going places. I'm much more comfortable backing Ma deep into a preparation, but I think 380 is short enough now. I'm thinking it probably gets out from that price a little bit. It'll soften just with percentage. And I also think this from a distance has something about it, but again, it's drawn wide. It'll go back to the back of the field and probably run into a nice sixth or seventh. So I do agree with you, Ben. Lots of these horses will be giving Calcalo a start, and it's going to get a perfect map with probably the best jockey in the meeting.
Yeah,
that might be fair to say. So I think the early markets found that, but I think he probably starts like $4.50 to $5, somewhere about that, and I'll back him. hopefully.
All right, sweet. We're seeing pretty similar there. Yeah, as you said, just for show does look one of the dangers. I just wasn't sure about that barrier. But
yeah,
all of a sudden, you might get a few scratchings and then he comes into 11 or whatever on race day. All right, race five is the Sir Henry Bolt Handicap. 2,000 metres, three-year-old race. Naina, $3.90 favourite. From Stylish Secret, $4.80. Oxford Blue, $4.80 as well. Somewhere, $6.50. And Politely Done is back from 2,400 metres. Comes back to the 2,000 here is $9.50. What did you make of this one, Will?
I thought it was tricky. It's a tricky race. It's open race. I thought that Naina was a bit short. It was good last time, but I had the opportunity. It was, you know, still closing well. So it's obviously a 2,000 metre horse, or at least upwards of a mile. It's what it's going to appreciate over time. I gave Stylish Secret a big chance. I think that it's unfashionable, but it's it was really, really good at Crawford. That race went pretty well. It's the biggest last start rating from any of these. And I think fourth up, you know, again, it's going to be midfield and it's going to be iffy, but I think $5, $6, even a little bit better than that on the day is something that I'll want to be on. Somewhere's a little bit interesting. I had a big opinion of this horse based on its debut at Ballarat, I think it was, where it ran massive splits. And then I backed it in the Sandown Guineas that day. It was heavily supported and probably should have won. But it just hasn't had that same zip, this preparation. Maybe you'll see it over 2,000 metres. Maybe it's just looking for that sort of ground now at this stage of its career. I'm not sure. It probably looks about the right price to me. Even a horse like, I think your mate owns this horse, Adjudicate, Ben.
Which one of my mates is this?
Oh, fuck. He listens to, this is bad. The one that owns Attrition.
Oh, yeah, Bretta.
Bretta, that's his name. Fuck.
He's
blank. Yeah, he owns.
He's been on paternity
horse,
leave, so I haven't honestly haven't seen him at work as much yet. So congrats to Bretta.
He's got this horse. It won really well at Geelong, and that number stacks up pretty well. It ran nice splits. It's drawn 21, but I give it a chance at big odds. The horse I probably wanted to be on has been scratched. So that's annoying, but Stylish Secret appeals, and I think it maybe should be favourite. Right. Not super confident on that, but I could back it. I will back it if it's $6 on the day, for sure.
Yep. I'd probably have Politely Done. I might have something on. Like, I think it's more of a stayer.
Yeah, I could back Politely Done as well. I think it's a horse that'll soften on the day. If it jumps like $14 better, I will most certainly be on it, because that wasn't a mile and a half test last time. That was a sprint, and I think it's got a number that it can run and probably put itself in a nice enough position here from the middle gate.
Yeah. I don't think things really worked out for it last start either. Like, it probably should have got much closer to Statuaro in the end.
Definitely.
Let's move on to race six. It's the first leg of the quaddy. It is the straight six listed race, 1,200 metres. King Zephyr, 225 from Aviatris, 550. Limz Kosciuszko, a very interesting horse. Definitely is Singapore's best horse coming out of Singapore. $7.50 from Running By, $8.50. Then you're out to Marble 9, 16s and longer the rest. This is a very exciting horse, King Zephyr. I think if he goes to a Stradbroke, he'll be one of the key chances. I would put him on ice if he was my horse after this and set him for the Rupert Clark, the Toorak handicap. He's very, very exciting. Look, he's back to 1,200 metres here. He might get a bit of a soft track, and he's got to go down the straight for the first time. But I think we're nitpicking a little bit if we think we can genuinely poke holes in him, because he comes into this race. It's one of the weakest listed races I've seen. And I know there are some good horses around him. Like, Aviatris is a good horse at her best. She has been terrible her last two. Her ratings have dropped right off from her first up performance. She might be, you know, better fresh. Limz Kosciuszko has got 60.5. Might need the run. Running By is not a 1,200 metre horse. So those are the horses in single figures. And these other horses, like the Astrologist, he's a good horse on his day, but he's jumped out awfully.
He's had back surgery. It's probably...
I honestly think King Zephyr is just going to pick him up and spit him out again. Took $2.50. He's my best bet at Flemington. I actually don't mind Barrier 8. It gives Jordan Childs options down the straight. He can either go sort of up the middle or down the outside. up the fence, like wherever they need to go, he'll find the best spot of the track. And he's clearly on top for me, but I've had something small, and I think Bot will attest this as well, on Crosshaven at 50-1. Look, this horse, he showed something last start at Mornington. I thought his late sectionals were good behind the instructor, and you don't have to look too far back to his Flemington form of last year, and his ratings do stack up. He was only beaten a length by It's Our Time. He did win at Flemington almost a year ago as well in a big upset victory, and he drew barrier one that day as well. So at 50-1, I honestly think he's not a bad bet as well. But I'm chips in King Zephyr. I've also got a result on Crosshaven. Will.
Yeah, I think 270, I'll say. 270 or better, I'll be on King Zephyr. And yeah, Crosshaven's a good bet, I think, at 50-1. Like, you know, it's a long shot, but I think it's a good gamble at 50-1. It's ran the second fastest last 200 meters of the day at Mornington behind War Machine, who obviously won last week. And like you said, Ben, has that strong straight form over the similar races to this, really, like listed race. He probably ran in this race last year. Did he win this race last year?
No, I think it was in June when he won.
Yeah, open call. Yeah, not that race. But you know, like it's a similar race, and if the favorite doesn't turn up and run, you know, better than, or at least to his rating or better than, he's one that I think can put himself in the frame for sure. But yeah, 270 King Zephyr is probably the point where I'm sort of thinking about backing him. But I have no interest at 230.
All right, no worries.
Also, we should probably talk about Lims Kosciuszko. He's an 8-year-old or 7-year-old horse. Has been a very good horse over in Singapore. Obviously, we don't know much about that form. But the horse that beat him last start, Lim Sal Toro, ran a nice race last week at Caulfield behind War Machine. So the form's not hopeless. It's, you know, he's off 220 days with 60.5 kilos on potentially a soft track. So, I mean, I think he probably does start double figures, and he's one that you can... I think it wouldn't surprise me if he wins, but he's probably not one that I want to be on. But he's obviously been one of the best horses over there in Singapore, and it'd be good to see how that form stacks up, I guess.
Yeah. King Zephyr just catches a few here that are on the way down rather than the way up. I think he could potentially be one of them. And Aviatrice, like, she's been really bad her last two at Morpheville, and whether you can forgive it, I like to forgive a horse one bad run, but two back when she started favorite in front of Azfura, I know she was only beaten two lengths, but the rating was really, really poor, and she just didn't do enough for me. So I think she's a query as well. Like, you don't just come over to Victoria when you're not at your best and then all of a sudden turn it around. So yeah, I'm against her as well.
She belted Sir Sway first up, and that form looks all right now. He ran second in the Goodwood.
Oh, absolutely. But, at her best, she's right in this, but
you'd back her almost.
Yeah. She does need to bounce back. Nico.
If she was coming off the first up run, I'd probably back her to beat King Zephyr.
Yeah.
If there was the same prices, obviously.
But King Zephyr is a good thing, in my humble opinion. As I said to you earlier today, Benny, I was very surprised that this has been a target race for him, back for 1,200 metres down the straight. But yeah, I think back in trips, sort of no issue. He'll just take a good position. I'll sit up a little bit, and his turn of foot will be too good for him. I think he's a really good horse moving into the spring. And yeah, I think he'll win. I don't know if Bot will get his 270 or 280, whatever he wants. But yeah, I think he's a cracking bet.
Yeah, he moves like a very good horse. He's got the action of a very good horse. And yeah, this, I think they've targeted this race because he's still rated 82, I think. So it's just a perfect ratings booster. Like, he'll get...
Yeah,
10, 15 points for winning this if he's able to. And that gets you into a lot of handicap races. Probably needs one more win, but yeah. All right, let's move on to race 7. It is the Lexus Andrew Ramsden Stakes, listed 2,800 metres. You win this, you're into the big one, the first Tuesday in November, the Melbourne Cup. Athabaskan is $4.60 favourite from Berkshire Breeze, $5.50. Almarise, $7. Smoke and Roman, $7.50. Mostly Cloudy, $8.50. Silent Sorrente, $12. gee, a lot of these key fancies have drawn in hell here. Athabascan 20, Berkshire Breeze 21, Mostly Cloudy 16. And that's why I want to be on the old boy, and that's Smoke and Romans. No, by no means a really, really confident bet, but I would probably mark him a $6 favorite, $5.50 favorite in a race like this, just because he's going to go forward from barrier 15. He's one of the key fancies who actually maps well. He's coming off the last start win. Any rain on the day is a big positive. It's probably a negative jockey change from Ben Malham to Linda Meach, but she's a good judge of speed when she's up and going. This horse just has to run out the strong 2,800 metres, but we've seen him win over 2,600 metres at Flemington before. He ran seventh in a Melbourne Cup, and his only go at the track and distance, I think, was a forgive. I reckon he was at the end of his prep, and he was beaten too far out for it to actually be true. So I'm happy to back Smoke and Romans. Athabascan interests me, but he's getting a little bit short now. Alma Rise is at form our start. She's the up-and-comer. For now, if it gets into the race, maybe some chance. But, yeah, at the current quota, I think Smoke and Romans isn't a bad play. You could go each way as well if you want to. Will?
Yeah, a couple horses. I think the big go early is being Athabascan, but I can't see it. I mean, I can see why, but I just know what they're going to do. They're just going to be negative from the gate, you'd think. And in a big field like this, there should be a bit of pace on. They're going to stretch out. It's going to be 25 lengths covering the field, there or thereabouts, and it'll be given none. And I mean, if it's 15 lengths from the lead at the 800 metres, you just don't want it. So, I mean, I'm happy to take him on at that price, $4.60. I mean, that's not the true price. I'm sure it'll start longer than that. There's a couple that interest me. Mostly Cloudy is one of them. I thought he was good in the Sydney Cup. He was wide and made a long, sustained run. He was beaten by Berkshire Breeze. He went past him, but he sort of made mid-race move in the... What race was that? The one that mostly Deacon won, the Roy Higgins. I thought he was good enough there. But he was... Yeah, I just think he's just been building 35 days between runs. Not exactly ideal, but... I think he's the one that I probably want to be on. Loft is also interesting, one of Nico's jumpers. His form early in this preparation over the on the flat was, you know, he was beaten 30 lengths in the Ballarat Cup. But I just think that they were prep runs, and he's obviously, you know, he did some special things over the jumps. And we saw that Gay Waterhouse horse. I can't remember the name of it now, but he won a obviously. Or was it the Andrew Ramsden? Did he win the Andrew Ramsden?
Who's that?
The Gay Waterhouse horse that was jumping that Camberilla was riding.
Teofilo Star.
Yeah, that one. I think it did. I think it won a Ballad Exam race.
It went to Brisbane, didn't it?
It started big race
up there, Brisbane Cup.
It did win a race at Flemington. I can't remember if it was a Ramsden or not.
Yeah. Anyway, that. It winning that race doesn't make Loft any faster, but I think that, you know, it can be done, and the chasm between these top jumpers between our stayers isn't necessarily a large gap. And if Shane Jackson's, and I think Shane Jackson is an exceptional trainer. I think what he's done with some of his flat horses has been pretty bloody good. So I think he might have him right, and this might not necessarily even be a prep run. This might be an actual race that he's in, and he's a roughie that I'll be on. Denmark's interesting. Virtuous Circle is another one that I could back. He just got way too far back in the Warrnambool Cup, and probably the best of the longer odds chances is Feneo, who backs up. He's improved. He's grown a leg since he's gotten out over a mile and a half. He's a Frankel. You'd expect that, and he just keeps improving on the backup. I think he's one that I want to be on. But obviously Daniel Moore, who was booked to ride, is not going to be available because he fell off yesterday. Right. Unfortunately.
The horse still needs one more to scratch to make the field, I believe.
Yeah. And it's a field of 20, I'm sure. I'm sure something will scratch, especially with the track potentially. Yeah. But yeah, main bet in the race will be Mostly Cloudy, but I'll have something small on those other ones that I've mentioned.
All right.
Also, I mean, I do agree with you, Ben. I think Smoke and Romans is one I could have something on. If it gets out to that bigger than double figures, I'll have something small. It'll run for me for sure.
Look, I wouldn't be surprised if he's beaten at the 300, but I just think he ticks too many of my boxes not to have something on.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's I would love to know why Malum's off. Surely he would have known that the horse was going there.
Maybe he was already booked for Athabascan. Like, Athabascan hasn't ran since the Sydney Cup, where he ran an honest fifth. And, you know, this is a Sydney horse. So maybe John O'Shea was on the phone and he just booked him nice and early. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe.
Let's move on to race 8, 1600 meter benchmark 100. Vedad is favorite. Is this the newly wedded Vedad? Who knows? Maybe he's turned the corner. Can he string two in a row together? I'm going to say no. Chalk Lane, $7 from Wings of Song, the same quote. Super Razi, talk about horses who need another win. $8. El Rocco, $8. Sione, $9. And Regal Zeus, $12. I've had two bets early on Bet365. And the reason I've had them on Bet365 is because you can cash out the bet. And they are on two really good wet trackers. El Rocco put in a new career peak performance last start at the Valley. Was it real? I don't really know, but nonetheless, I was really impressed with what he did. Carried the 53 kilos there, up to 53.5, so gets in perfect again. Maps sensationally from barrier 6. And if we do get 5 to 10 mils of rain on race day, then he's going to start a lot shorter than $8, and Vedad's going to start a lot longer than $5. So I've backed him, and I've also had something on Rolls at $26, who, look, I know he's coming off a warnable win, but he carried a lot of weight and he beat a horse named Precious Charm, who we've got a decent opinion of. And first up in Adelaide, he ran in a listed race and got a mile back and ran really, really well home. So I wouldn't be surprised if he runs a great race here. You only have to look back to last preparation. He led all the way and put two lengths on Green Fly. Green Fly's gone to Sydney, won again. And he just has some really decent and honest form in this sort of class and around this sort of distance range. So he's another one who rolls forward. He wants rain to be beating these, but I think he might get it. Will?
Yeah, I don't like the race. I thought that Holy Man's was half interesting because they slaughtered it at the Bendigo Classic or Golden Mile or whatever it's called. He was really good first up, but I don't really have much interest in this race.
Yep, fair enough. There's a lot of there's a few horses who need a win, I tell you that. Chalton Lane, Super Razi. Yeah.
I'd love to back for a dad, but I'm just a little bit short for me.
Nico, anything?
No, nothing for me.
All right, let's move on then to the last race. 1800 meter benchmark 84. Liberami, $3.20 from Ambassadorial, $6.50. McGarton, $9. Fortune, $9.50. Typhoon Harmony, $11, and La Zebra, $12. I'll quickly get this going again, and I'm going to tip Liberami. Took $3.40. This is a horse who is just continually getting better and better. Got into a bit of an awkward spot last time, and things ended up working out okay for Jai McNeil. Got up the fence, won really nicely. Keeps producing big splits late. So I think the step up to 1,800 meters is ideal. Gets in on the minimum. I don't think a soft track is any deterrent. And I'm really keen on his chances here. Other horses you might be able to have something on, probably McGarden and Fortune. I think they look the two main dangers, and I could probably have a saver on them. But yeah, Liberami, if it doesn't get too far back, I'm pretty keen on. Will?
Yeah, I don't know. I see the vision with Liberami, but I don't love 1800. I don't know. I sort of initially thought that it was potentially vulnerable at a mile, but the more I look at it, I sort of don't hate it. But I think $3.30 is probably too short. I don't want to be involved anyway. The only one I could have any. I mean, I'll probably back something eventually on the day, but. So I figure it all out and the prices get a little bit better. But Lording looks a little bit interesting to me and looks like one I could back. He was making a run where the school is at the Valley, and you just didn't want to do that day, and peaked on his run. And also Tresetti, who goes really well on wet tracks. I was talking to Aaron Gooden earlier today, and he made a good point that, you know, on this horse's day, it's a nice enough horse. So I do agree that $35 looks a little bit big early. I don't know. There'll be pace on in this, right? It'll be a test. So, yeah, that's why I'm like, Station One will go mental. And there's pace everywhere. So that's why I'm a little bit worried about Liberami, especially at 3:30. It looks short.
Yep. Friends in high places will bot. Patrick Payne's horses, they do seem to get through the wet. I don't know if that's – I don't have the statistics to back that up, but a lot of his horses, maybe it's just the way he trains, but
– I think he's just a very good conditioner of horses, and he has them fit.
Yeah, has them really fit. And that
usually... His tactics, though, not quite so good.
Yeah. You want someone loves to do a tactics, back marker. Paddy. Loves a big back marker.
I'll happily do your tactics, Paddy.
What about Rubisaki back in the day, Nico? What an ATM she was for a season or two. All right, let's get up to the Sunshine State, where there isn't too much sunshine. Doomben is currently a soft 7, so it's improved a little bit, but they've got a stack of rain coming tomorrow. Just looking at it, 5 to 25 millimetres, 95% chance, so it's definitely hitting. This track is definitely going to be in the heavy range, 0 to 7 millimetres on Saturday. The track is probably going to be off fence. The rail is in the true position. So I think you want to be just off the speed, maybe midfield, and you need to be handling a wet track. We're going to start in race number 6. Sorry, we're going to start in race number 4. Nico's got one. It's the Burnborough 1600 meter listed event. Alma Beer is $3.80. I reckon that's the one he's backing. Rising Pacific, $4. Tenzing, $4.80. Sabark, $4.80. And Brookhaven, $8. Nico, am I right?
You are correct. This horse will handle a wet track. Obviously, now with Annabelle and Rob from the Haggis camp, there's two of this horse. Everyone's been sort of well documented about that. So that's not a great thing to hear, but this was a horse that they brought out for a Doncaster. He's now in a quality handicap listed race at Doomben. So if this horse is going to show up and win a race, I think Saturday is a fantastic opportunity for him to do that. He's one of not many in the race that will handle a wet track. Gets J-Mac first time. Yeah, it looks a fantastic race for him, if I'm being honest. I wasn't gonna tip him, but the more I looked, the more I thought this race was pretty horrible, and he just has to win, I think.
Yeah, it's not like he's $2.90, $3 either. You're getting $4, no. So
yeah, 100%.
All right, I'm happy with that. He's got to give the field a little bit of weight, but. You know, if he's everything they've sort of thought he was when they brought him over.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, he's got to be taken care of these, surely. Let's move on to race 6. I think this is the most intriguing runner of the day. It's in the Chairman's Handicap, 2,000 metres, Group 3, quality handicap. And donning the number one saddle cloth is Delius, or now known as Sir Delius. $2.60 favourite from Immediacy, $3.70. Kibosh, $9. Floating $9.50, really good wet tracker. Manzois $11 and Encoder $17. We got to mention Allegron as well for bot $21.
Of course, you've got
longer the rest.
Why would you not mention them? How far are you going to win by?
Fuck you!
Oi! Don't.
No, you know the backstory. I don't want him.
Yeah, I know the backstory, but you know the backstory with me and Dilly.
55,000 we could add him for.
I don't care, mate.
Yeah, well,
he's my horse, not yours.
You should care.
No, it's my horse, not yours.
He's dead to me. No, he would have been going to a maiden hurdle at Warrnambool this year.
Mate, no.
Anyway, let's get to the betting. And Sir Delius is my...
Brisbane Cup winner.
Shut up. Sir Delius is my best bet of the day. I would take King Zephyr for Flemington and Sir Delius for Doomben. This is a very, very good horse. Gay Waterhouse paid $2.8 million to secure him. He's a son of Frankel. He's a four-year-old. He might still be three-year-old Northern Hemisphere time.
Four now.
He is four.
It's too confusing, that shit.
I don't know. Anyway, he started $17 in an arc. He ran midfield. He's got form around Sosie, who's one of the best horses in France right now. Has a second and a third to it. Sosie actually started favourite in the arc. I think ran third or fourth.
Third.
Ran well. Isn't really that far off some of the better horses in France. Gets in well here with 60 kilos, I think. I know he's only first up, but he's had three really, really good trials. Tim Clark has punched him out to win two of his recent ones. They were at 1,200 metres, so he's shown a bit of speed for a 2,000-metre horse. I know he was ridden out in those, but Tim Clark has got off and said, yeah, this is a proper horse, and I think he'll be taking care of him. I think he's going to be fit enough. That's going to be a key thing with this wet track. But talking of wet tracks, he's only ever raced on wet tracks, really, in France. He's raced on, you know, proper bottomless, and he's ran well on them. And I think that is more of a query for Immediacy, who I know he's won on a soft track, but he's won going.
I love that horse.
You love that horse?
I love Immediacy.
He's been good to us the last two starts, but I just think he's bumped into a better one here. And I don't think he wants a bottomless heavy nine, heavy 10, which is what he got in a derby. I know he ran well that day, but he was still beaten a long way. And Delius, well, if he's cranked up, fit and ready to go, then he'll absolutely swim through these conditions. And I don't think they'll see which way he goes if he's right. Floating is another one who can run well, but yeah, this is a group one horse against handicappers.
Yeah, I was watching Delius since it's I don't pay attention to anything outside of Victoria really, but I was watching this horse, had an interest in this horse for, you know, from its first start. Because I remember seeing somewhere on Twitter or whatever, and it just looked like a good horse. You know?
Yeah.
You know when you just get a vibe from a horse where you're just like, oh, that's a good horse.
And surely the breeding you're interested in as well.
Oh well, yeah, it was a Frankel at a Day Lamy mare, so of course. But I mean, I had looking towards the arc for it, and I was just watching just because I'm sick and I love horse racing. Obviously it started favorite in the French Derby, and it ran really well in the arc, which was not the French Derby. Did it run in the French Derby, or did it? No, it was the Grand Prix de Paris, because it didn't. It's run at mile and a half like every single start. Hasn't run short on that, which maybe is a query, but you know, probably not. It'll be testing, so it'll suit it. But yeah, I think this is a really good horse, and it's only had one preparation really. So apparently it's a bit of a nutcase as well, so it might improve with a bit of time, and it's still got its nuts, so that probably help.
Get rid of him.
No, don't get rid of him. It's a this could be like a Cox plate, like this could be good for Cops our breeding. Horse. We don't, we it's... like, yeah, I don't know. Well, I don't want to, I hate like did Prost went to fucking stud. Like if Prost is at stud, we'll put this thing to stud. Anyway,
it'll get there eventually.
Hopefully. Hopefully it's a good horse. Up. But yeah, Allegra on a win by five lengths.
So. Too short for Allegra on 2000.
Needs another lap, Allegra.
Yeah, I think Sir Delius is a proper Cups contender. So,
well, that's the race that they want to win, Sir Owen Glenn.
Yeah, Cup. Yeah, Caulfield Cup is probably more suitable for him, but he should get a decent enough. He should get a winnable weight, I reckon.
Mm.
He's probably on par for a Q22 maybe in a couple of weeks' time. So he's on the without a fight preparation, and we know what he did a couple of years ago. He actually retired today, so. A hat tip to the great horse.
It was today,
wasn't it? Without a fight.
I don't know. Today, I think. Time.
Yep. Anyway, let's move on to race eight, the Doomben 10,000 Group 1, 1,200 metres, weight for age. Sunshine in Paris, $4.40, overpass $5. Benedetta, well-backed, $5. Schwartz, $7.50, might not run. The camp have come out and said he's a little bit scared of the wet, even though he won.
That's
on
so
a
very... stupid, isn't it?
Oh, it's the biggest cop-out.
Yeah, well, they're going to scratch, and just because they know they're going to get lapped by some actual good horses here. I mean, I beat actual good horses, but I mean, oh,
it was God. On the travel lane.
I can't, time. I cannot cop it. Oh, just the breeding stuff, like best performance on a Zooster. I mean, if it's the best performance on a Zooster, then like why are people spending so much money on Zoostars?
Zoostars are good.
Because this thing's a, I mean, like, oh, with all due respect, come on, guys.
Jetabil $10, Marzu $11.
to be fair, they're spending money on Zoostar yearlings, not Sons of Zoostar.
Yeah, but like if this thing is the best son of Zoostar, why are they spending so much money on Zoostars? That doesn't make sense to me. Like, I
he's the only one to win a Group One, but a lot of them are up and running 2 year olds and they win races.
No, not the only Group One winner. Surely there's been other Zoos. Are you serious?
Oh, he's the only one who's won an open age Group One sprint, I think.
That just seems mental to me. Zoostar's been around for ages and they're spending millions of dollars on him, and one of them's won an open age Group One. That is just insane.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, isn't that like why? That doesn't.
Well, the other ones, if they win a Group
what's
One,
what's even more crazy?
They all get rushed off to Studbot if they win a Cornwall.
Yeah, but that's just insane.
Yeah.
What's how can even you spend more so much money on someone that can't beat open age horses?
That Vinny's only had 1 2-year-old Group One winner. That's even more fascinating.
Yeah, Vinrock.
Vinrock. Yeah.
Yeah. And think about how many dollars are spent on Vinny colts.
Yeah, but then 3, 4, 5 year olds.
Yeah, all... but still.
Mm.
Mm.
It's nuts.
It's interesting chat. Anyway, podcast listeners don't really care about that. They just want
the best sprint in the world's by Al Roker.
In this. And it's a tough race to find the winner. You are. You need to shut up so I can concentrate. There's lots of speed in this race. Hidden Wealth goes forward. Zarastro goes forward. Overpass goes forward. Schwartz goes forward. Marzu wants to be handy. Desert Lightning, he's 1,200 metres, maybe not, but he's another one who wants to be positive. Rothfire wants to be positive. So there's lots of speed in this. I think the two horses best set up to win are Benedetta. I think she looks really well in here. She maps beautifully. I don't think a wet track, maybe really heavy, is a bit of a concern, but... I just think I've got to have her on top. Marzu is into barrier 10 after a few scratchings. Maybe there's more. He's an absolute mudlark who got back to, you know, he hit the 100 plus rating last start on a wet track. So he's well in the game for me. So those are both results for me. Sunshine in Paris, I think she's the best horse in the race and she was awesome last start. She'll have to go back. And I don't know if she really wants a really heavy track. So... And Overpass is another one. He doesn't want it bottomless either. So you can just poke holes in so many of the chances. But yeah, I'm Benedetta and Marzu from Sunshine in Paris, but Benedetta and Marzu mostly.
I don't know about the heavy track thing for Overpass is like the last time he ran on a heavy track was 2022. And like his heavy track form, like he ran fifth in a TJ, fifth in a Galaxy. You know, like that, yeah, sixth and a premier beaten two lengths and then an all age probably didn't, you know, he's not a 400 meter horse. Why would you not back Overpass? I mean, he was bad last time, but he probably went too quick there, didn't he?
Yeah, it's not easy to go from Sydney to Perth to Queensland and just, you know, run your TJ figure again, but.
I know, but he just runs to form here and he leads and the rest of them are going to go back. Like yeah, Sunshine in Paris.
We caught that last start as well.
Yeah, I know. But like.
Yeah, he did go too fast.
It's an easy run to forgive, isn't it? Like,
West Star sat third in the Quokka, has come out since and absolutely demolished a field at Northam, sitting wide the entirety. And it was probably just too close to that hot pace as well. Look, if this was a soft six, I'd say Overpass should be the favorite, probably $4 favorite. But we could be looking at a 10, we could be looking at a 9.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, Benedetta is a nice horse, but it looks like a... I mean, it's $5. Like, it's shorter than Overpass. How can... I mean, I love Benedetta. I thought she was a good price in the all age, but like, I mean, she looks short here, doesn't she?
Yeah, it's short.
Like $5 is mental. I mean, Sunshine in Paris is $4.80. She probably... I mean, she drew in, you'd probably want to be on her with J-Mac, but I mean, it is J-Mac and he does what he wants, but she's going to be last.
Like, it's just like, where do you go though? Like, Jetabil's a Group 2 horse. Like,
there's just no way that I could back Overpass after what happened last start. Like, that type of run can empty them out for a preparation.
He's had
a lot of travel, as you alluded to, Benny. I just personally couldn't back him.
Something beaten a length and a half.
I know, but that they went like cut cats, but
this is a race where you could get a complete blowout that no one is expecting. Like, I think those Aussie punting battlers who tip all the roughies in a race, I reckon they'd be licking their lips. I reckon they'd be licking their lips at a race like this, because if the top four in the market don't go on the heavy nine track, then anything can win it.
Yeah. What about Lady Laguna? She likes a wet track, doesn't she?
Yeah.
She won't be able to keep up. Marzu is probably the one best suited if it's heavy, heavy.
Mm.
But, yeah.
But what if it becomes a real test and Desert Lightning's suited?
I hope Benedetta wins, for what it's worth.
Yeah,
I don't
so
have
do
a
I.
firm opinion in the race, but...
Is Stacky riding it? No.
No. That would be the sick thing. Benedetta to win a Group 1 and Stacky not on. That would hurt.
Stacky desperately needs a Group 1.
He's in Europe anyway, cool. So he's not...
No, he's
not
doing a tough over there.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the ninth, which is the Rough Habit Plate, 2,000 metres Group 3, 3-year-olds. Always a great pointer.
I love this race.
The main lead-up to the Queensland Derby. Firm Agreement, 420, well-supported. Belle de Tal, 480. Shangri-La Spring, $6. King of Thunder, $6. Mason Louis has been well-backed into $7.50. I'm pretty keen here on Firm Agreement. I think he's been a bit of a bridesmaid, but I do think he gets his opportunity to win another race here. His run 3 starts back was one of the better seconds you'll ever see in the Tullock. They dragged him back to last from barrier 13. I think he was tailed off 3 lengths last, came up on the inside and missed a nose. It was an incredible run. Then he ran second in the Derby to Aliana. I know it was a distant second, but still ran well. Ran well again behind Shangri-La Spring last time. Shangri-La Spring has since gone back to 1,600 metres and was just okay. So, yeah, I'm with Firm Agreement. I just think he looks the one best set up for this. All reports are he's going well up there, which is always good to hear. And, yeah, I think barrier 7 is perfect for him because he's a horse who can be a little bit slowly away. So just that midfield draw suits. Belle de Tal, I'm going to save on. She doesn't have the rating on the board just yet, but she's by Zed, obviously very elegant, and she could just be the complete mudlark. So I wouldn't be surprised if she goes through the roof here. I think the market's got it spot on, and they are the main two hopes. Mason Louis is one for the Derby, but...
I was going to say him. He's going to steam.
He is.
He's going to steam. He's going to start $6.50.
If J-Mac was on it, he'd probably steam even more. But yeah, I just reckon next start for it.
Yeah, maybe. But I had a look at this, and he's going to steam. They're going to like this horse. They're going to back him.
Doesn't have the rating yet, Bot, but just he's like you like it. What he's done, mate.
Yeah, he's going to have it.
He's going to have it. There you go. The last word from Bot. All right. Anything else? Around the grounds, Nico, you got anything at Scone?
No, nothing for me at this point. I need to see acceptances and prices for Sunday at Casterton. So I'm not going to say anything until I see that. So that'll probably be about 10:55 on Sunday.
Yep.
Well, what's that horse that always won at Casterton? It's been retired?
I cried during the week when I found out that he was retired.
You cried?
Alverson.
Not really. I felt like crying though. Elvison, yeah. So now we're going to find a new Prince of the Hedges.
Maybe that's you, mate.
I would jump him beautifully.
No, you wouldn't. Trot. I've seen it.
I would. I'd just glide over the top of him.
I'm sure Nico's... You know the little jumps they have at Warrnambool in the car park? Like the little...
Across the road.
I've seen Nico try and jump him, and he
does. Oh, I was going to say, I'm sure he's done it, but yes, he has done it. That doesn't surprise me at all.
He goes straight through them.
I just glide.
Did he stack it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
it's not an elegant watch, I'll tell you that.
I don't think anything Nico does is elegant. I don't think he could possibly be elegant.
No. Anyway, a few around the grounds from me. Scone, Friday. The market is really honed in on Know Thyself, and I can see why, but... I just reckon if the track is playing fair, then West of Africa, 1600 meters, oof. I love what this horse has done late. I think it's a horse who might be able to run a big race in a race like the Epsom come the spring. So I've backed it at $11. I still think there's a little bit of juice at sevens. If Know Thyself wins again, then too good. Saturday Scone, we backed one horse all in, race 8, number 7, Grand Impact. You would know this horse from its sort of three-year-old days with the price Kent Yard. It's sort of getting back to somewhere near its best now. It won twice at the end of last preparation. It's trialled nicely on a heavy track leading into this, and I just thought it was over. So Anaropa goes on the minimum, gate 4. It's a tough race, but I think it'll run well. And the other one I had, and it's another best bet for me, is tomorrow night. So it's Friday night, but it's actually run Saturday, 12:45 a.m. Race 4 York, number 1, Rebel's Romance. One of the better stays in the world. He's got to extend his form out to 2,800 meters here, which is unknown territory. He's never done it, but who knows? He might be looking for this sort of ground later in life. He's clearly better than them. Sweet William is a good stayer. He's more of a dour stayer. Like, his form is 3,000 meters plus. He's ran third in a Ascot Gold Cup behind Kyprios. And I just think Rebel's Romance in the small field of 5 is just going to dominate this from the front. Probably just sit in behind Ryan Moore and Continuous. And if he does stay out the trip, then better than even money looks a good bet. So, yeah, pretty keen on Rebel's Romance. He ran 4th in the Shima Classic last start behind Danon Desile and Calandigan. They're 2 of the best horses in the world. All righty. We need a buck, we need a lay, and we need a prey. Who wants to lead us off?
I'll back Run Like an Encryption. The 2-year-old that I can't pronounce his name, Bucklish, yep, or something like that. And, I don't know. Well, look short. I don't know. I mean, Athabascan looks short to me, but I understand why. I don't want to lay it. There's nothing very obviously too short, I don't think.
All right, Nico?
We'll lay Bot in the first because he's got no vote. Best will be King Zephyr. And I don't really have a value play for the weekend.
All right. My best bet will be race 6, Doomben, number 1, Sir Delius. My best each way... Well, King Zephyr is my best bet, but I really do think that Crosshaven could run top 4 or 5. So maybe at 50-1, you might be able to get a bit of value out of that, or maybe even a little same race multi. And I don't really have a lay, but if I had to do one, I think the obvious one at $2.80 right now is race 2, Flemington, number 1, High Vol, just taking on that 2-year-old race in the first. Just looks a little bit short for me. So that's the way I'll play it. All right, a couple of questions before we wrap up the podcast. We will start on Twitter, I reckon. All right, Ryan Patton. Will Nico be joining us tonight? And is he finally over his warnable flu? And if he does, does the great man have anything over the Caston jumps on Sunday?
I do, but you just have to stay tuned to the socials. I'm not saying anything until... I get some prices because I don't know what's going to happen. I might look like an idiot. I also don't want to tell anyone that might be listening. They can just wind the prices in. So, yeah, I've got two bets off and on that I like, but you'll have to stay tuned for the socials. Let me get on first.
All right. When do prices come out? They won't come out till Saturday, Sunday?
Well, at this rate, it'll be midday, 10 minutes before the first.
Yeah.
I don't know why people care about that.
Well, I care. Why? I want to get a bet on.
Yeah, but you can wait till the day.
I mean, for podcasts, it would help our fodder.
The jumps prices are late anyway, unless it's a main meeting. But, yeah, it's still shithouse. Like,
yeah, I don't care.
They should be better.
Nah. It doesn't make any difference other than you just get a bet on early. Like,
there should be things done that make all of them go up at the same time, not 2 or 3 of the big ones go up, and then everyone waits 2 hours, sees what happens, and then they go up.
Well, that's the reason that they've done that, because everyone's just relying on the tab and sometimes 365.
It shouldn't happen.
Well, that's why they've stopped putting them out early.
Yeah.
Or they've cut people as well, probably.
Yeah. They should all have to go up at the same time.
Yep. All right, Coops Irwin has got a couple. Ben, reckon the Blues make the eight. That's a tough one. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to hold the faith and say yes. But if you were a racehorse, what would your ideal program be?
Program?
Yeah.
Like as in training regime?
No. What races would you target?
You'd start at 1,200 and get to 2 mile.
Oh, 9.55 at the Valley.
I'd start, I'd lap him over 9.55 and then I'd back up over 3,000.
Yeah. He's an 800-metre squib at Gatton.
Yes. Horse trainer and jockey to watch for the Brisbane Carnival. Horse, I'm definitely saying Sir Delius. I reckon he'll win on Saturday and win the Q22. Antino is an obvious one. Antino, any of Tony Gullen's horses.
What happened to Buckaroo? Did he pull up lame or anything, or did he just not handle the track?
I just don't think he handled the track.
Yeah, fair. Antino's a bloody good horse, isn't he? Like, I feel like he's probably overrated. Underrated.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's put up some. He hasn't won some big races, but he's probably one of the better horses in Australia.
Oh yeah, Faulkner Park's another one. Like
as in like top five.
I wouldn't be surprised if Faulkner Park is taking out one of the big races there as well.
I think Blanco said the other day with Gareth that Antino's got 3 of the top 15 performances.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
He's
in the last year.
He's got a couple of performances that are just like wow.
Yeah.
Coops, should the Andrew Ramsden be moved or lose its Golden Cup, Melbourne Cup Golden ticket?
No, you need those sorts of races. It adds a nice little extra. It's cool. Like you can't just have. I don't know. I like it.
I don't mind
There's
it.
There's other
I don't
races know. That should have the golden ticket as well.
I don't know. I don't know if it's in the right spot, but it provides a good story. It provides some horses a chance to get into the cup. Whether some of these
until are good they enough. Don't pass their scans.
Nah, it's more the internationals that are failing scans, really. But yeah. And the last one. This is the best question of the night. Riley Dixon. Where did Bott spend his last Saturday night after his fill up?
In bed.
I don't remember, but that's not because I was blackout somewhere under a bridge, but I don't know. I can't remember.
You don't remember what you did last weekend?
Nah, mate. Too many things have happened since.
Wow. Too many losers.
Wow. Return to the
moon.
What did I do last weekend? I can't remember. Doesn't matter.
Anyway, you're spending it this weekend. Is that right?
We'll see.
All right. You can catch Nico and I on the radio tomorrow. I'll be on RSN about 10:30, 10:35 a.m. And Nico,
when are you on the radio, Bot? Oh, sorry.
That's a fucking low blow, isn't it, mate?
Nico will be on Form Lounge.
My head's just all over the shop.
At about 12:45 p.m. Speaking of PM, it is now 11 p.m. thanks to Nico, who was 45 minutes late to the podcast tonight. So
and the rest.
Hold on,
thanks, mate.
It's no
don't fucking hold us on, mate.
Saying,
you've held us on long enough.
I need to go to bed, and he was still up 2 hours later yapping in the chat. So that's in the lay bin.
Yeah, that's in the lay bin as well. Bot saying he needs to go to bed, but he's still up at 1 a.m. Fair.
Are you talking me? What did I do?
Yeah.
You always say you need to go to bed and then you're still
chatting. Yeah, that's just I want Nico to shut up.
I wasn't even on last week.
Oh, well, Ben then, or Stu, one of the two.
Anyway, let's wrap it up there. We've actually made decent time. We're just over an hour, so I'll quickly edit this, chuck it up, and we'll see you guys next week. Cheers.
Ta.
Good luck.